region there, which Linda is going to bring to us.
Matthew 13:53-58. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Amen.
And now we're going to sing again, and can it be? That rising hymn, ring you soon and come talk to us.
Okay, I think most of us here have got children who've grown up or nearly grown up and have left home. They've gone to university, they've left home to start a new job or to get married, they've set up a new home of their own. And isn't it good when they come home for a visit? There's your celebration, Rose. Yeah. When they come, whether they're by themselves or with the new people in their lives. And we anticipate their coming, and we do everything we can to make the visit a success. Now, when you heard that story in Matthew 13, did you take a minute to think how Mary must have felt when she heard that Jesus was coming home and probably bringing some disciples with him? She must have been so busy preparing for him, thinking of all the family would be able to do together. There was so much to catch up on now that he'd left Nazareth and he was based at Capernaum, down by the Sea of Galilee. Of course, when he had come back to Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry, you can read about it in Luke chapter 4, he'd not been well received. But surely things would be different this time. After all, he was becoming well known as a healer and a teacher. How could people in Nazareth not be happy to see him back? But did things go quite as she'd hoped? Yes, he was there on the Sabbath day and he preached and he taught in the synagogue without causing the uproar that he'd done on the previous occasion. His listeners are even said to be amazed by his teaching and by the healings which they knew he'd done in the area. So let's imagine ourselves at the village well the following morning. It's always a good place to hear the latest gossip and the women's opinion of what had been taking place. Not necessarily the same as the men's, but on this occasion it seems there were in agreement. What do you make of this, Jesus? Said the one who could always be relied to stir things up a bit. It seems strange to me that he could feel entitled to say such things. After all, who's he to do so? Yes, said another. Now, we've known him since he was knee-high to a grasshopper, and we know he's nothing more than a carpenter's son. And a carpenter himself, a good one too, till he took off to live in Capernaum. We know Mary's mother, and I can't help wondering what she feels when she hears him speaking in this way. Yeah, we know the rest of the family too, said a third. None of his brothers would do such things. I've always liked them. Now that James, who had to take over the business when Jesus left, always struck me as a very sensible, seeing both sides of the argument sort of man. I could see him doing well for himself in the future. Now the sisters are nice, modest girls too. Mary can be proud of them. None of the rest of the family seems to be following Jesus' example. It's just a complete mystery where he gets his teaching and his healing from. Well, he didn't do much in the way of healing while he was here, or put someone else. But he's moved on now, and perhaps it's just as well. At least he didn't cause as much trouble as the last time he came. Going back to that earlier visit, we find in Luke had given more details of Jesus' teaching. He's described as reading from the prophet Isaiah about the coming of the Messiah. He said the prophecy was being fulfilled. He was preaching good news to the poor. He was healing the sick. We don't know whether he said the same things in the visit that we've read about today, but we do know that those who heard him were amazed at his teaching. They recognised there was something extraordinary about him. And yet, instead of accepting him and believing him, they took offence. Why did they find it so difficult to believe him? Well, Jesus himself gives the answer. He says, only in his hometown, in his own house, is a prophet without honour. And then he went on to describe how in a time of famine in Israel, the prophet Elijah wasn't able to help any of his own people, but he was sent instead to a poor Gentile widow. But surely, the people who'd grown up alongside Jesus would know him best and be in the ideal position to recognise his differences and a special way that God was with him. They'd seen him in ordinary daily life, in all the ups and downs that life throws at everybody. They'd watch him grow physically and mentally. They saw that he'd had a wisdom well beyond his years. They were uniquely able to say that they knew him. And yet they couldn't believe in him. Now maybe it was the fact that they did feel that they knew him that was a problem. How could anybody from such an ordinary background, just like theirs, be someone specially appointed by God to do and say such unusual things with such authority? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when Wes was preaching about the effect of small things? He said that Jesus came in a small way as a baby, and it might have been easier for people to recognise him if he'd come thundering down from heaven, I love that phrase, as a fully grown man. Yet that wasn't the way God chose to work. The people in Nazareth had known Jesus since he was a small child, and they'd been imagining that he'd behave in the normal manner for someone of his background and upbringing. They thought they knew what to expect of him. They thought he was just one of them, like the rest of his family. A little bit better, particularly conscientious, say, more skilled or more articulate than most, that would have been fine. Instead, he was acting and speaking as though he came from somewhere altogether different and was under different authority. They couldn't understand why he was like that, and they found it disturbing, even frightening. Now the disciples hadn't known him in this way, and so they came to believe in him for his teaching and his miracles as they happened. They didn't have the same preconceptions as the people of his own age. Maybe like Nathaniel in John chapter 1, they'd have expected only hot-headed fanatics to come from such a place as Nazareth in uncultured, unorthodox Galilee. But they'd quickly have realised that Jesus was not like that, and they'd come to accept and believe him for his own merits. And as they came to believe, he was able to teach them and to perform his miracles, doing that in a way that he couldn't do in sceptical Nazareth. Because in Nazareth, they thought that they knew him. Or perhaps it would be more to the point to say they knew what they expected him to be, and so they took offence when he didn't conform to that idea. It's even possible for something similar to happen to us when we've been Christians for a long time, maybe most of a lifetime. We've got to know Jesus. many a time has been a comfort and a help to us. He said he's our elder brother and our friend, and we've found this to be true, and we've enjoyed his company over many years. And then suddenly, he reminds us that he's not quite the same as us. He's got unique authority. He can say things and do things that no one else can. We may wish he wouldn't, but that's his prerogative. And we are bound in allegiance to him. We're part of the kingdom of heaven, and he's the king of that kingdom. We're expected to trust him, to obey him, to have faith in him, and not to let that faith go, even when things are at their most difficult. To hold on steadfastly to faith, even when we don't think we can feel it. There was a lack of faith in Nazareth, and so it's recorded he didn't do many miracles there. Just a few, because where there's a little faith, even like a grain of mustard seed, he's willing to show his compassion. We know that above all other places, Jesus' home is really in heaven at God's right hand, reigning in his kingdom. Nazareth, after all, was only a temporary home. Well, it was a very real one whilst he was on earth. Whilst it's sadly true that he wasn't fully accepted and honoured in that hometown, maybe we should also remember that he has other, more permanent dwelling places on earth. In John 17, we read that he prayed that as he is in the Father, and the Father in him, he wants to be in us. He wants to make a home for himself within his people. Remember the phrase you probably heard in Sunday school, asking Jesus into your heart. This is a home where we should always be fully accepted, fully honoured. A place where he truly belongs. Where faith enables him to do the things that he wasn't able to do in unbelieving Nazareth. A place where he's not merely accepted as one of the family, but he's head of the household, with all the authority and all the honour belonging to that position. Let me leave you there.